So good morning. So welcome to the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Brookings. We have an umbrella here. Okay. Welcome all the visitors and, of course, the regular members, too. And we do have a potluck afterwards downstairs, so please come and continue the fellowship down there this Sabbath. It's always good to meet together with the saints for lunch after Sabbath, after the Sabbath service. Now, a couple things. Your white prayer requests and praise sheets, fill them out now. I have several here. If you haven't filled one out, go ahead and fill one out, and they'll bring it up before we have the prayer. So start on that if you haven't done that. And also, we have another little task for the deacons. These are the ones here. We're going to be handing out we're going to have a responsive reading for Scripture. So we're going to hand out the responsive readings. So if we could, thank you. The umbrella. Okay. All right, that pesky umbrella. So Shernette, why don't you go ahead and give us a little update on the prayer activities coming up.
So in your bulletin, February 8th, that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Now, instead of doing 10 days at the church, we're going to be doing 5 days. And the days that the meetings will be held at church are Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturday night. Now, the evenings that we do not have the meetings at church, I'm going to encourage you to pray at home and also to read the devotionals. The devotionals will be available in the foyer, and so you can pick them up and do the readings at home. The theme for this 10 days of prayer is Seeking God's Spirit. And the main contributor is Pastor Kevin Wilfley. How many of you know Pastor Wilfley? Yes, he has been here twice. He's the person that wrote the devotionals, and they are on the Holy Spirit. Do we agree that we all need the Holy Spirit today? Yes, more than ever, right? So I'm going to encourage us to come on out and also to pray at home. Also, we have a week of prayer, January 28th to February 2nd. I'm going to ask you to mark that on your calendar. The presenter will be Jim Castor. Has anybody been watching GYC? No? Today is the last day of GYC, and the prayer coordinator for GYC will be our presenter for the week of prayer. It will start at 6 p.m. each evening. However, we'll begin with a light supper at 5, and Sunday morning we'll also have a light breakfast at 9 a.m. There are cards that are in the foyer on the credenza, and you can take one of these cards and invite a friend to our week of prayer. So that's two things, the 10 days of prayer, and also we have a week of prayer. So keep those dates in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Shernette. All right, one reminder from the church treasurer. She's trying to find you and give you your year-end slips, your receipts for donations. So make sure they're correct. Make sure you get one. If you have any questions, see Janice after the service. All right, I have received a few more requests, so we have several of them here. We have one from Charlotte, says, God is good, and a prayer request for my son. He is in need of surgery, needs to find a doctor, so pray for him that he can find a doctor and have the needed surgery. So remember Charlotte. One from Kelly Coy says, please continue to pray for my daughter, Kaylee. She's not making good decisions, and she's having a lot of trouble, and she's on the streets of Portland. And he's very concerned about his daughter, that the choices she's making will negatively impact her and those around her. So Kelly and her need our prayers. So let's remember her and Kelly. Ernie Madden says, for all the fishermen during the crab season, that nobody gets hurt out there this year. You know, you look out there and you wonder how they do that. It's a dangerous job, and so we want to keep them in our prayers. It's a tough way to make a living. We have one that does not have a name. It says, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath and for the family to come to the truth of the Sabbath. That's, thank you for that. Jeannie Fisher prays for healing for family and the church, and that we should be blessed with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this new year, and we can reach our fellow sojourners with the gospel message. I think that's all of our prayer this year, that we can do something in our community to spread the word and spread God's love. Sonia, she has a praise for special, a thanks for the special music on the New Year's evening by the pastor and his family, and the lovely agape meal last night. And she requests healing for church members, spiritual guidance for those in need, and help for those who find it hard to ask for help. Now, I know that we all have people that we're thinking of. We have joys, requests, thanks of our own. I'm going to raise my hand. I have some. If you have some, raise your hand. And let's go ahead and seek the Lord in prayer. So let's kneel at this time. Our Father in heaven, we invite you into the house of God this morning so that we may praise you, worship you, and be with you. We're thankful for all of your blessings that we perceive are great and small. We're thankful for the material ones and the spiritual blessings. We thank and praise you for those. Please bless the speaker and the message. And as we go through a special communion service today, bless all those who participate and those that are here. May they hear what you would have us hear and understand what you would have us understand and perform the miracle of the eyes and the ears. We thank you for that. We want to especially remember the requests that you've just heard, Lord, both the ones that are spoken and those unspoken. You know our hearts. You know the needs before we even speak. Please be with these people and be with all of us as we seek you in prayer and ask of things from you. We want to pray for personal and church revival and reformation in our lives. We want to pray also for our church community, for the Oregon Conference, the NPUC, the NAD, and the GC. We pray for our church, Lord. It is the body of Christ on earth. We pray for it that it will be led by you and it will be effective in its work. We especially want to thank you so much for Jesus' life, the death, and his resurrection, and his saving grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did everybody get a copy of the scripture reading? I think we have enough for everyone to have a copy. Did anybody not get a copy? Okay. This reading is for all and for men and for women and for the leader, so it's a little bit different than a regular responsive reading, but we will go through this together and notice as we go along who is supposed to read which part. It's all there on the page. Six truths of communion revealed in this reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For he hath made him, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The word of the Lord. We have read scriptures that remind us of truths about Jesus, truths that the communion service reveals to us. And there are six of them, as you find, that are listed there at the top of the page that you have. Six truths of creation, of incarnation, it goes on. What are these truths? How do they reveal themselves in the communion service? We have believed, of course, that when we celebrate communion, we are remembering the great truth of Christ's death for our sins, his blood that was shed for us, his body that was broken, of course, the meaning of the emblems. But what are these other truths, and how do they come into the communion service teaching? Notice number one, text number one, and text number two speak of the creation of God, Jesus Christ, as the great creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then number two there, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is our creator. And when we partake of the emblems, we will partake of bread first, and then the wine, and we are all one by creation. God is our creator. The emblems that we hold in our hands when we partake of them are made from what God has created. God is our creator, and that's a great truth of communion. The second great truth of communion is that of the incarnation. Take a look at verse number four here. That means when Jesus Christ became one of us. We were talking about it in our Sabbath school class. The wonder, the amazement that God would become a human being, and not just to appear as a human being, but actually to be flesh and blood and to experience life as we experience it. It's incredible to think about it. And here in text number four, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The wonderful news of his character of love and mercy and righteousness. In the incarnation, we have the message of the presence of Jesus. Jesus was present in this world when he lived and died and rose again, and he is still present with us as we worship him and as he indwells our hearts. And the great condescension of the incarnation, the wonderful message of what he has done for us, reminding us in these emblems, God is present when he indwells his people, when we are filled by his Spirit. The emblems do not need to be changed into God. We need to be changed into the likeness of our Heavenly Father, into the likeness of Christ. And this service is to change us by means of Christ's indwelling in us. The third great truth is the truth of atonement. And that is mentioned in verse number 5. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How can we become righteous before God? That is the great truth of atonement. And I've got a little example of it here. We've got this umbrella. I'm going to open this umbrella up. And hopefully it works here. And this is a big umbrella. I didn't bring it today because I'm doubtful of the roof or that I was afraid it would rain. Someone thought that that's why I brought it here today. That's not why I brought it. I brought it because the umbrella stands for the perfection of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we stand under when we trust in him. And this is a blue umbrella. And in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, it is believed, were on stones that were blue. The perfection of God, we stand under it through Christ. I'd like to ask the children to come forward. All the kids that came up for the children's story, could you come on up here? I want to see if you can all fit under this umbrella. Can we get all the kids under this one? Just come on up, stand right here, and hold the umbrella there, Christopher. See if everybody else can stand underneath you. And we have it here. So here we are as young people standing under the perfection of Jesus Christ, for he has made him to be sin for all who believe, including all the children in the world, him who knew no sin, that the children and all of us kids, age 2 to 102, might be made the righteousness of God in him. We stand under the umbrella of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, I think you all fit. You can probably even get some more kids under there if we had some more today. Thank you. Go ahead and sit down. It's a wonderful feeling to know that we stand under the grace of God, that we do not have to feel condemned because of our sins, because of our mistakes. We're no longer under the rulership of the tyranny of the oughts and the shoulds, and I ought to have done better, and I should have done better. We have God's grace in the great gift of the perfection, the righteousness of Jesus that is given to us. That's the great truth of atonement. The great truth of resurrection, the fourth truth, is revealed in texts 6 through 8. Text number 6 speaks of the resurrected Jesus that went into heaven. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Do we believe that we have a high priest in heaven who is on our side? Do we trust in him? Do we worship him? Verse number 7, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And the next one, so what should we do if we believe that Jesus is alive, if we believe that Jesus is our high priest, if we believe that he is on our side? The verse number 8, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we show our faith in the resurrection of Jesus? The best way and the most powerful way is by worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Trusting in him, believing in him, worshiping the risen Christ. And we show that by many actions that we do You know, people come to church once a year, many times on Easter. They believe in the resurrection. I'm glad that they do that. But more importantly, when believers worship Jesus every day and they proclaim, when Jesus make a difference in their lives, yes, I believe in the risen Christ, and it makes a powerful difference, a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Resurrection. What about exaltation? Exaltation is another great truth, and that's talking about praise, uplifting Jesus. Text number 9 and 10. God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And verse 10 here, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the great truth of exaltation. And when we praise Jesus Christ from our hearts, from inside, when our face will show it, when we feel this great love for him because of his love for us, and praise comes from a heart that has been broken by the demonstration of Jesus Christ's love for us. I'll never forget, you know, there's been different times in my life when Jesus seemed to be very real. Have you ever had an experience like that, where Jesus was just very real to you? It's wonderful when you have those experiences. And one of them happened for me when I was in the seminary, and it was an unusual circumstance. It was a assigned reading from a textbook. And I was reading the textbook, and as it shared about Jesus, you know, and how he became one of us, it was just explained in a way that made it so powerful and so real for me that I just wept. And I remember for weeks and weeks after that, on Saturday nights, I didn't want to go out with my friends and socialize and things. I just wanted to be alone. I wanted to think about what I had learned about Jesus Christ from what I had read in that. And I still remember that time, one of the most wonderful spiritual times in my life. Exaltation, praise that comes from meeting Jesus and having an encounter with Jesus. What is the last great truth? And that is the truth of eschatology. Now that seems like a long word, but that means the last days right before Christ comes, the end of all things, the second coming of Jesus. Eschatology, a theological word, but we know the teaching of it because it's what we find in the last verse there, which is from Revelation 22 and verse 12, text number 11 here. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And so we remember that when we celebrate communion, we proclaim the gospel until he comes. The text that we read every time, you do show the Lord's death until he comes, from Corinthians. Jesus promised the disciples, I will not eat this or drink this with you again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of God. That's talking about what happens after the second coming of Jesus. We are closer to his return today than we have ever been. As we partake of the emblems, we affirm our hope in his soon return. One of my seminary professors put it this way. He said, our celebration of the Lord's Supper ought to throb with delicious anticipation of the heavenly feast soon to be shared by the saints in glory. That is the great hope and the great truth of eschatology in connection to the emblems and the partaking of communion together. And so as we think on these things and meditate on them, we're going to partake of the emblems here. And I would just like to ask our elder to come forward. Dwight, if you could come with me forward here, and we'll go into our service of partaking of the emblems. And our deacons can also come forward at this time. But we are going to have a prayer for these emblems here as elders in front. The congregation can remain seated if you'd like, or if you'd like to join us in kneeling, that's fine. But we're going to begin our ceremony with a special prayer for the emblems.
Our Father in heaven, as we kneel before you, partaking of the emblem of your body and your blood, may we understand the significance of this ceremony, of this formality, and may it not just be that, but may we really deeply understand how you sacrificed and lived for us. May this really sink in as the pastor was speaking. May we really understand and have that appreciation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Our Lord says, "Under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love, so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe, and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you." Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you."
And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood for the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
If we had lived in a tribe in Africa, in certain parts of Africa, we would have discovered that the chief of the tribe is the strongest one among the group. And that's what designates, that's what decides who is going to be the chief. And in certain parts of Africa, where they have wells for water, they have to be very careful because the well may be, you know, 20, 30 feet deep, but it only gives a little bit of water. And so they have actually put these steps, these kind of etched out places where they can put their feet all the way down on the walls of that well on each side. And someone goes down into the well in the morning, gets as much water as they can, and then has to take those steps back up to get up out of the well and get the water for the day. And sometimes even having to watch the well at night so that no one will come and take this water. And it happened that in one particular village where they had one of these wells, the man who went down to get the water in the morning slipped and fell into the well and broke his leg. And he was down there at the bottom of the well. It's kind of hard to climb out of a well like that when you have a broken leg. And it wasn't it wasn't a lot of water, as I mentioned, just a little bit, but still it was there. But mostly he needed to be rescued. And who was the strongest one in the village? The chief. And so the chief took off his royal robes of chieftainship, whatever they call it. And he was a big, strong man, and he got to that well, and he began to go down, step by step with his right foot and his left foot. And he gets down to the bottom of the well, and he gets this man up on his back, and he says, "Hold on," and he's holding on to this bucket of water, and, he starts going up the steps, all the way back up to the top. And he carries this man out of the well with the water because he happens to be the strongest one. It's a good thing, and he's able to do that. And it's a beautiful example of what Jesus Christ did for us. Who is the strongest person in the universe? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And who has gone down to the lowest places, suffering and living as a human being, dying the death, not only death, but the death of a cross, and who has lifted us up by that action and provided us with the gift of salvation, the water of life, if you will, because of all that he has done for us. And as we look to this new year of 2020, may it be a year that we see Jesus more clearly than ever before. Fox News had an article that for 2020, it's been designated the year of the Bible by thousands of churches that have come together and say, this is going to be the year of the Bible. And I hope that they do read their Bibles this year. And how wonderful it would be if 2020 would be our year of the Bible and our year of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Bible. And if other Christians can do that, certainly we can do that. And we have the opportunity, whether it's through Sabbath school lesson or there's other different reading plans, whether you read the Bible through, this year. I've heard of people that have read the Bible through several times in one year, or whether it's, spending all year on one short portion of Scripture, whatever it is, as we fill our minds with God's Word, Jesus Christ can become more real to us, and we can have a greater experience than we've ever had. And so let us do that this year. Let it be our prayer and our focus and our goal. Not something that we can manufacture, for we are not strong enough to face the temptations. We're not strong enough to face the trials that will come to us this year. But only through Jesus Christ, through the power of his word, can this be done. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can this be done. And so let us trust and believe and move forward in faith, and let it be a year of great spiritual victory. And we have a lot of things happening this year that are happening in the church, and evangelism, and different outreaches, and we're looking forward to a great time together. And what a wonderful thing to begin the year here with a celebration and partaking of these emblems. Let us close our service today with our closing hymn, and let us remember also that there will be an offering at the door. A deacon will be holding the offering plate for a special offering for those in need. And we've talked about eschatology, so let's sing our closing hymn, "We Have This Hope."
Please stand.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out. Amen.